The feast of Christmas is such a large and important one in the church that unlike a normal Sunday where we would celebrate Sunday Mass, the same Mass over and over for four times on our normal Sunday schedule, at Christmas, the church actually gives us four entirely separate Masses for Christmas, each with their own readings, their own prayers. We have the Vigil Mass in the evening of Christmas Eve. We have the pinnacle, the kind of the high point, the Mass at midnight as we welcome the newborn Christ. Then we have Mass at dawn, the first kind of glimmering rays of His revealing to the nations. And then we have today's Mass, the Mass during the day. I would kind of like to refer to this Mass as the advanced Mass. This is the theological Mass, because we look at the Gospel reading, you know, it's easy to read the reading at midnight. I like to call it the Linus reading, you know, from Charlie Brown Christmas. Lights, please. And lo, there were in the field shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. Everybody knows that reading. Not many people in Christmas expect to read St. John's beginning of his gospel, the prologue, in which we read about the Word. It seems rather mysterious and hard to grasp. But you know, I think one of the important mysteries of Christmas is expressed in that great Christmas carol. What child is this? Who is this little baby that is born for us? John tells us in his gospel, ultimately, the answer to Charlie Brown's question, can anybody tell me what Christmas is really all about? Well, St. John, in the advanced version of Christmas, I think gives us a very good answer to Charlie Brown's question, an answer to the question of what child is this? St. John tells us plainly that the Word, the second person of the Holy Trinity, existed from all eternity. God has spoken, as our second reading from the Hebrew to the Hebrews says, God has spoken in the past in prophets in varied ways. John tells us that in the beginning, the Word was spoken and everything that came to be was made. In the beginning, He existed. But then, John tells us something very special. That Word that was spoken, that existed from all eternity, he says that that Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. That is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. The Word, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, becomes one of us. And so rightfully we call Him Emmanuel. Truly God is with us. And we rejoice this day. It is a great surprise. When you study all the other wisdom literature of the time of the Bible, lots of people had a belief in the Word, the Logos. But no one ever anywhere would have ever thought about the Word becoming flesh. Because see, the Word is spiritual. It's too high. Indeed, all the philosophers at the time thought that the great dignity of the Word was that it was not weighed down with the flesh of this world. John says that no, the good news is that Word becomes one of us. Notice also that this is not something that receives maybe great rejoicing right immediately, because it says that the Word comes into the darkness and that His own people did not receive Him. There is a truth that in this world, there is darkness. There's a lot of darkness. You know, we like to think of Christmas as this magical, happy time where everything is just perfect and beautiful. But that's not really the beauty of the Christmas message. John gives us the beauty. It says that the light has shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's not that we don't have darkness. Perhaps as we come to this Christmas, all is not joy to the world and happiness on this day. You know, the past year maybe has been a difficult one for you, a challenging one. There are many ways that perhaps we look at our life and we find darkness. Unemployment, lack of an income, struggle in our family, worry about our children, worry about the world, war and strife. And anyways, that's the world that Jesus came to. It's a world that has great need of a Savior. And if we're really going to love and understand Christmas and what it's all about, we first have to really know and understand that darkness. To know that we are, in a sense, in the darkness and in great need of the light. But that is our cause for rejoicing today. The light has come into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The star of Bethlehem shines out in our world, in our lives today, and Jesus says, have hope. There is light, even in the midst of the darkness. We need a Savior, and we have one. The Word, the Savior of mankind, has become flesh. John testifies to his coming into the world. Our God is a God of surprises. No one would have expected that the Savior of all the world, even desired by the prophets, no one would have expected that he would come as a little baby, and certainly not that he would be God himself. There is a famous kind of short play by the author G.K. Chesterton, an author of the last century, great Catholic literary figure. He wrote a play called The Surprise. And I saw this play for the first time recently. It's not that long. But all during the play, you're kind of asking yourself, what's the surprise? There's this kind of interchange between the characters, and there's this plan at the beginning, but throughout the play, everything seems to go wrong. The characters all have these tragic faults that end up wrecking the plan. There's kind of mistaken identities, and you think maybe that's the surprise. When one woman who's supposed to marry a certain man disguises herself, and maybe it looks like there's going to be a different kind of marriage, and you're always asking yourself in this play, what's the surprise? But meanwhile, it seems to keep going down and down and down, and pretty soon you get to this point where there's this huge sword fight. You're like, oh my goodness, what happened? How did this beautiful marriage that was supposed to take place in the play, how did it come down to this? And you're wondering, is this the surprise? Somebody dies? But then, from the top window of a little house in the back of the scenery, a little window opens up, and out pops a man, and he says, what have you done to my play? What are you doing? Put down the swords. I'm coming down there. And then the play ends. And that's the surprise. And I had to stop and think about it for a minute. Like, what just happened? Because it just abruptly ends. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What have you done to my play? Stop it. I'm coming down there. Chesterton, in his own little way, has kind of shown the way God looks at our world. He has this beautiful play that he creates, and meanwhile, we all have our tragic flaws as we go through it. We really do make a mess of God's play at some point, and we come to swords and fighting, and I hope none of that is what's in store for the rest of your Christmas. Big families get together, and sometimes that's what happens. We make a muck of it. But God says then, stop it. But more importantly, I'm coming down there. That's what we celebrate today. Not that the world has not been made a mess. Not that there's not darkness. Certainly there is. But we celebrate God who says, I am coming down there. And that's what he did for us in Jesus. He comes into the darkness and he says, have hope. The light shines in the darkness. God is our great hope. The Word made flesh on this day. He comes to save us. Not because things are perfect, but precisely because they're not. So today, in a strange, sort of surprising way, I pray for all of us that in the midst of the darkness, we would have the gift of knowing how much we need a Savior. That indeed might be the greatest Christmas present of all, to know our need for a Savior, to sit in the darkness and know beyond any shadow of a doubt with great certainty that the light has shone in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it.